Now, police investigating the savage attack and kidnapping of Kevin Lunny will examine computers, documents and mobile phones found during a search of properties in Ireland and the UK on Friday. During one of the searches in Derbyshire in the UK, gang leader Cyril McGuinness died of a suspected heart attack. We're joined now by Nicola Tallant, Investigations Editor with the Sunday World newspaper, which has been on the trail of Cyril McGuinness for several years. Nicola, thanks for joining us. Cyril McGuinness, known as Dublin Jimmy, he died during a raid on that safe house in the UK. What's known about the role he played in the attack on Kevin Lunny?
Well, he's understood to have been, I suppose, the director of operations of that attack, that kidnap and attack, and of the all the sort of arson attacks and more serious attacks that have been happening for years up around that area on the Slievrosheen Mountain where the former Quinn companies are. I think we first named him in 2014 as the chief suspect behind, at that point, 70 attacks on business premises, and, you know, there was all sorts of attacks at that point as well on the receivers who had moved in on Quinn's companies.
What impact then might his death have on this investigation? I mean, is there any sense that people with evidence might now feel freer to come forward now that he's out of the picture?
He certainly was the most feared individual operating in that area. I mean, everybody was afraid of Cyril McGuinness, from the people around to even the authorities were afraid of him. You know, he was an enforcer. He was a very violent character himself, going all the way back to when he was suspected of being involved in IRA bombings in London in the 80s. You know, he was the one that was basically overseeing that omerta that has existed up there for a long, long time. People were afraid to come forward with information because of the wrath of Cyril McGuinness. So it remains to be seen if his death will change that, and if people will feel freer now to come forward with intelligence. Certainly when after the attack on Mr. Lunny, which really upped the ante, there clearly was intelligence brought forward to the guards at that stage, because I think it was a step too far.
Now, there were mobile phones, computers and documents found in the search of that safe house that Cyril McGuinness was in on Friday. You're writing today in the Sunday World that mobile phones could be the key to solving this case.
Absolutely. I mean, as we all heard during the interview with Mr. Lunny on the BBC, he spoke about phone calls being made while he was in the car, and that his attackers were referencing somebody called Boss and they were taking instructions on the phone. Now, the guards believe that Boss in that case was Cyril McGuinness. So phones were used, and the investigation is focusing on triangulating those phones, and there's a number of phones that were used by various people involved, and, you know, trying to time that along with the attack. So mostly in criminal ventures, people use what we call burner phones. They're throwaway phones, but they can often, you know, not actually physically throw them away, just stop using them. So the focus of the searches was to try and pick up, along with other things, maybe some of those phones that may have been used, the actual hand units. And the searches, the 18 coordinated searches on Friday in Longford, Dublin, Cavan, Fermanagh and in the UK, there was phones picked up during those. Now, the evidence that's all in Derbyshire in that safe house that Cyril McGuinness died in, that all that evidence is actually in the possession of the UK police, because, making it a little bit complex, they have to first investigate the sudden death of Cyril McGuinness before they can then, you know, allow the guards access to the evidence that has been found within that house. That house is a sort of a double crime scene as such. While it was the focus of the raid, it's also the place where he collapsed and subsequently died.
Yes, and I suppose there are probably two strands to this investigation. There's trying to identify the individuals who are directly involved in that attack on Kevin Lunny. And then there's the investigation into who potentially financed it, who was the paymaster. Are police any closer to finding out who financed that attack?
Well, they certainly hope that there may be evidence in Derbyshire in that house amongst the documents and the phones and the laptops that may lead them closer to it. They certainly, you know, suspect who was the paymaster, but again, until there's some actual evidence, that will go no further. I suppose another part of the investigation is identifying the crime scenes as well. So there would be a number of different crime scenes in this attack. Obviously, where the attack occurred, the horse box, there has already been an area searched in regard to that. But the cars would also be seen as crime scenes. So, you know, what evidence there would have been left forensically within the cars that were used.
Yes.
So it's a big investigation. It'll be slow enough putting together all that triangulation and, you know, the phone traffic and all that. It'll be slow enough, but I think they're quite advanced already, because the resources have finally been put into it, into solving at least one of these crimes anyway.
Yes, and do they now expect to proceed on the basis of putting together a forensic case against, or to try and build a case using forensic evidence rather than having witnesses?
Well, look, I don't think you'll probably ever see a witness, you know, in this case, certainly from the point of view, there might be witnesses who saw cars passing by and all the rest of it. But I mean, this really is similar enough to a gangland case, where witnesses who actually give evidence against people who were maybe involved in some way themselves and sort of give evidence usually end up on the witness protection programme. And you know, this would be the similar in this case, but I think probably witnesses that will be called upon will be people, for example, who there was bleach bought in a shop. So there'll be people on the periphery more so than actually a member, I think, of the unit that was controlled by Cyril McGuinness.
All right. And you're writing about this today, Nicola Tallant, Investigations Editor with the Sunday World newspaper. Thank you very much for joining us today.